KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies. It's still 50 degrees. We've been holding steady at 50 since early this morning before sunrise. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Our forecast is calling for cloudy skies with showers and thunderstorms developing later this afternoon, a high around 62. In the news, authorities in central Iowa are investigating two reported incidents of strangers allegedly trying to pick up students outside schools, according to KCCI in Des Moines. Des Moines Public School District parents received an email from school officials claiming a man tried to convince a middle school student to get into his vehicle near Moulton Elementary School. The school district said the vehicle was a black Range Rover with tinted wheels, windows it is, and described the man as being heavy set with dark skin and a nearly shaved head. The man was said to have appeared in his early 30s and had facial hair, according to the school district. Parents of students in the Prairie City Monroe School District say they received an email also about an incident that allegedly happened Wednesday afternoon outside the Monroe Elementary School. During the incident, a woman and two men in a silver car approached a female student and claimed the girl's parents asked them to pick her up and take her home from school. The driver of the car was said to be a woman with red, bushy hair. The men were wearing T-shirts with cut-off sleeves. A large crowd in Greenfield appeared Wednesday morning during a public hearing as part of the Adair County Board of Supervisors meeting. That hearing was with regard to an amended ordinance assessment of wind energy conversion property and was followed by the passage of the third and final reading of that ordinance, which affects persons who are in favor of and opposed to the construction of numerous Mid-American energy wind turbines throughout Adair County. The amended ordinance sets a 2,000-foot or nearly mile setback for turbines from non-participating residences and an 800-foot setback for property owners who wish to be associated with the project. The Arbor Hill and Orient Wind Energy projects tentatively call for the construction of 275 turbines and the option to build 100 more. In all, nearly 500 turbines are expected to be built and will be spread throughout the county. Currently, more than 400 landowners have signed up to have the turbines built on their property. And while the Adair County supervisors passed the amended ordinance, they tabled a more comprehensive plan addressing the health concerns, noise, and other issues dealing with the turbines. The Union County Sheriff's Office said yesterday the 52-year-old Chet Tracy Hyatt of Larmore was charged with theft in the fifth degree on September 28th. Hyatt was issued a citation to appear in court. Officials of the Cass County Republican Party report their headquarters in downtown Atlantic will be open today. The headquarters is located at 422 Chestnut Street. The hours may vary, but with the help of volunteer staffers, they'll try to be open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturdays. Barn and yard signs for all candidates will be available for supporters to pick up. Volunteers are requested to help staff during operating hours. You can direct all questions and phone calls to Dave Wiederstein at 712-249-4817. Republican Governor Kim Reynolds and Democratic challenger Fred Hubble will meet in the Des Moines area for their first debate. The candidates for governor will debate at 7 p.m. next Wednesday in the Ankeny campus of the Des Moines Area Community College. The debate is being organized by KCCI-TV and the Des Moines Register and will be aired live on KCCI. The campaigns have also agreed to debates October 17th in Sioux City and October 21st in Davenport. Republican Senator Joni Ernst says she's still hopeful a group of negotiators can agree on a new farm bill, but she says that may not happen until after next month's election. Ernst is the only Iowan on the congressional committee trying to come up with a compromise. The 2014 farm bill expired September 30th. Congress is supposed to revisit federal food and ag policy issues every 5 years and vote to reauthorize the farm bill.
If it is possible to bring the House and the Senate together, get to a consensus, do that after the midterm election, maybe we would be able to get the farm bill reauthorized by the end of the year. If that does not happen, then we would be looking at some sort of an extension.
Voting to keep the 2014 farm bill policies in place for another year is an option. Congress has used temporary extensions in the past when negotiations over a new farm bill have faltered.
I would much rather have the farm bill reauthorized than go through these short-term extensions.
A few federal programs have been impacted since the farm bill expired 5 days ago.
However, SNAP and crop insurance, they are still good to go. No worries there. Those remain in place.
Having the so-called lame duck Congress approve the next farm bill in November or December after the election is not unprecedented. The 1970 and 1990 farm bills were passed in the weeks after the midterm elections in those years. The 2014 farm bill was actually supposed to be passed in 2013, but it took Congress 21 months to come up with a final deal that could pass both the House and the Senate. Midwest Ag Economist is predicting a return to profitability for pork producers, but Purdue University's Chris Hurt says the turnaround likely won't come until sometime next year. Back in August, Hurt suggested pork producers could face losses this fall that haven't been seen since the late 1990s.
The outlook is still suggesting losses this fall and winter, but much less than in August.
He's now forecasting losses of $10 to $20 per head this fall and winter, while projecting profits of $5 to $10 next spring and summer. Hurt points to positive export developments with Mexico, Japan, and South Korea.
Needless to say, the pork outlook has improved, with considerable uncertainties remaining.
Those uncertainties center primarily on the trade dispute with China and that country's attempt to control African swine fever. In addition, tariffs on U.S. pork to Mexico and Canada remain in place despite a recent U.S. trade deal with those two countries. Hurd said one certainty is that pork supplies will be at record levels and an expanding U.S. hog herd probably cannot be sustained. Iowa, he says, is by far the country's leading pork producer. The USDA reported last month that Iowa now has a record 23.6 million pigs. The days are getting shorter and farmers are in the field and deer are in the rut. Iowa DNR's Tyler Harms says that makes it more important for you to be on the lookout when driving on the road.
It's a combination of events that are happening right now with the harvest and also with the general deer biology that are causing the deer to move around a little bit more this time of year than they do in other times. And so just really important for drivers to know that and to take measures to reduce their chances of hitting deer.
Deer are most active at the start and end of the day, and Harm says be especially aware if you are driving during those hours.
We recommend that first and foremost that folks don't veer for deer, as they say. That tends to cause more issues.
And he says if you veer, you're more likely to go in the ditch and suffer more severe injuries than if you hit the deer. Harm says know when you are in areas where deer may be moving, like wooded areas or along fields.
Looking for eye shine in the road ditches and in areas adjacent to the roads can be a really effective practice for spotting deer ahead and just minimizing our distractions and maybe slowing down our speeds a little bit during those dawn and dusk periods.
An annual report on car deer accidents showed Iowa had fallen from fourth to fifth last year. Harm says efforts to control the deer population have helped.
From 2006 to 2013, we really reduced the deer populations in response to a number of different factors, but mostly to try to get the population at a level that satisfies many different stakeholders, and those stakeholders include both folks that are on the roadway, but also hunters that are utilizing that resource for recreation.
Harm says the deer population has held steady for the last several years. The news was brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.